if I use the phrase this night, tonight, I'm not referring to tonight. I'm referring to Tezvav v'Nisan.
Moshe Rabbeinu's name is completely omitted from the Haggadah. This is based on the Chazal, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Shliach. The Rambam in Hilchas Chametz Matzah Perek Zayin mentions Moshe Rabbeinu in passing, but in the Haggadah he's completely left out. But I do believe that if we think of our Avos, our ancestors, there is one Av who appears in the Haggadah high profile. And that's Avram Avinu. Sometimes by illusion, and sometimes explicitly. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. This is called maschil b'gnus. Avoseinu? Who's Avoseinu here? Terach? Where do we find the Terach is called Avoseinu? But if you take a look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, when the Rambam describes the idolatry that was so predominant at that time, the Rambam writes about Avram Avinu, Vehu Ovedi Mohem. He, Avram Avinu, also worshipped idols. He was impacted by the society. And that's Maschil Bignus. Mitchila ovde avodah hayu avoseinu. Avoseinu includes even Avram Avinu. That's by illusion. More explicitly, the Baal HaGadah quotes a pasuk in Yoshua. Vayomer Yoshua el kol ha'am. Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Be'ever hanohar yoshvu avoseichem me'olam. Va'ekech asavichem es Avram me'ever hanor va'olich oso b'chol eretz kenan. So here we mention Avram Avinu's name explicitly, and geographically he's connected with a place called Ever Hanor. This is very important, as we'll soon see. He's on the other side of the river. That's the second time Avram Avinu appears in the Haggadah. And the third time, again explicitly, Baruch Shomer Avtachas Oli Yisrael. The Rambam has Amo, Yisrael Amo. Kimo Shomer Li Avram Avinu Bibris Bein Abesorin. Shenemar Vayomer Li Avram Yodoa Teida Ki Ger Yezaracha Bieretz Olahem. The story of Golus Mitzrayim is foretold. There's a nevuah to Avram Avinu. And there's Avram Avinu mentioned explicitly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him, on the one hand, Geri Ezar Achab Heretz Olahem, but on the other hand, the Acher Kach Yetzu, there will be a redemption. A fourth time, again an allusion, not explicitly, at least according to the Rashbam, Arami Ovid Ovi. This is the Kishkas of the Haggadah of Magid. It's a Pasuk in Kisavo, Mikra Bikurim. Who's Arami and who's Ovid and who's Ovi? Says the Rashbam, over there in Chumash, Avram Arami. Avram is called Aram because he came me'evra hanor me'eretz Aram. Aram na'arayim. Haya oved v'gola. The word oved with an aleph means he was lost. He was in golus. And once again, an allusion to Avram Avinu according to the Rashbam's pshat. What I'd like to do tonight is highlight some of the attributes, the midos of Avram Avinu, and see if we could connect them with the lessons for Leil HaPesach. Chayav Adam Chazal Omer Lomar Mosai Yagiu Maisai Lemasei Avosai. We have to study, we have to learn the actions of our Avot in order to emulate them. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to study Avram Avinu from five different perspectives, five different midos. And this is going to be real strong musa for us, because we have to follow in Avram's midos. The first one which is perhaps the most fundamental of them all, is Avram discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram is the first monotheist. Chazal go into great detail about Avram's discovery program, his investigation. According to one opinion of Chazal, he was a young lad of 3 years old. It's hard for us to imagine someone at the age of 3 who's already questioning the society at large and its beliefs. According to another day, he was 48 years old. My Rebbe said that perhaps there's no machlokas. He started at a very young, tender age. And as he matured and searched and discovered, by the time he was we'll call it a middle-aged man. I don't know, in those days, a young man. But in our terms, a middle-aged man. He came to the belief in one God. This was entirely antithetical to the beliefs of that time. Avram, in that sense, was certainly a revolutionary. He was the knight of faith. You know, Rabosai, I studied philosophy in college. There's probably no one here in this room who majored in philosophy. Is there? Is anyone who's willing to? Now, you see, times have changed. There was a time, it's hard to believe, when people actually studied college lishma. You know, like it wasn't for... Anyway, I majored in philosophy. It was fascinating. I did my graduate work, my undergraduate work I did in Queens, but my graduate work I did in a university downtown Manhattan on Fifth Avenue. It's called the New School. And it was still is probably a very intellectual place. I remember we used to come early before class and sit in the cafeteria, you know, and schmooze with the professors before they came into class about all sorts of social issues, philosophical issues. So one of the things I discovered in the course of my studies of philosophy was how much time was spent, how much energy and input did philosophy put into proving God's existence. And I look at the Midrashim of Chazal about how Avraham Avinu came to believe in one God. I think it's closest to what's called in the history of philosophy the cosmological proof of the existence of God. And Chazal described how Avraham Avinu would wake up in the morning, he saw the sun, he started worshipping the sun, and then in the evening, dusk, the sun set, and he figured, oh, the sun can't be the power behind the universe. He started worshipping the moon, and then in the morning the moon was gone, and so forth and so on. And he worked, and he tried to understand. And Chazal say only later on, Hitzitz Olav Bal Habira, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of peeked out. And Avraham Avinu encountered Hashem. That was the certification, that was the proof that all of Avraham's investigations were true. And then he went out to preach this belief in one God to the peoples of his time. Chazal say Avraham Avinu is me'ever hanar. Very significant. Hu me'ever echad v'kol olam kula me'ever sheni. He was radical. He was on the other side of the world. He was able to challenge all their premises, all their assumptions, all their predicates. The great trial of Avraham took place in Ur Kasdan, the place of his birth. Apparently at that time, religion was a state religion. Nimrod was the head of the state religion. He himself posited himself as an idol, some sort of god, divine being. And Avraham Avinu, after he smashed his father's idols, was taken in front of Nimrod, and he engaged Nimrod in the debate back and forth until finally Nimrod saw who he was dealing with. He couldn't win the case. And he threw Avraham Avinu into the Kivshan Esh. The pasuk that we read in the Haggadah, Va'ekach es avichem es Avram me'ever hanohar. Hashem takes Avram out of the Ur Kasdan. And according to the Ramban, as a result of the trial of Ur Kasdan, Avram Avinu not only believes in one God, he's willing to put his life on the line for that belief. As a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him the very first nevuah, Vayomer Hashem lech lecha me'artzach. Says the Ramban, there's really no introduction to Avraham Avinu. All of a sudden, Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, a nevuah. Who was he? We know nothing about him except some biographical details. But the answer lies in the phrase Ur Kasdin. Ur, says the Ramban, is not just the name of a place geographically. Ur means the fires of Kasdin. That's where Hashem chose Avram. That's where Hashem decided that Avram was going to be a great Navi. Because Avram Avinu was willing, as we called him, the Knight of Faith, to put everything to the test and to be willing to sacrifice his life. The second attribute of Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, Avram Avinu goes into Galut. He's a nomad. He's an Oved Avi, as we said. Leaving his comfortable surroundings because of the Tzivi, the will of God, and facing the unknown. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, El ha'aretz asher areka. Where is it? What is it? How will I identify it? No simanim are given. No clue. Avram Avinu has to utilize his intuition, and he's pulled almost gravitationally to Eretz Kanaan. But till he gets there, he lives a lonely existence. He's the lonely man of faith. He's an individual who's taken out of his familiar surroundings, out of his family, much like a young boy at the age of 18 is a little bit afraid to leave his house and go to Eretz Yisrael for a year or two. And sometimes a young man says to me, Rebbe, I came for Shana Aleph, but I miss my family. And I don't poo-poo that. That's a serious business. People have a good relationship with their parents, they're connected to them. It's hard for them to leave their home. So Avram Avinu represents the attribute, the midah of galut. Sometimes we have to go far away from our familiar surroundings. And what is Avram looking for? True, Eretz Canaan is his destination. But he's looking for his destiny as well. It's a process of discovery, of self-examination. We all go through stages in life like Avram Avinu, in which, in a sense, we're in galut. We're sort of alienated from our own selves. Questions that come up, decisions that have to be made, a path of life. How does Moshe Rabbeinu say, Horeinu Noaz Drachecha? Or as David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reveal to me the Arachayim, the true way. All of us, each in our own individual way, has to go through a kind of galut experience, trying to decide our path, trying to gravitate to the Eretz of Shechina, to the Mokam Asher Areka. The Pasuk says in Breishis Tesvav at the Brisbane Abasorim, Ani Hashem Asher Otzei Sicha Meur Kazdin. Say Chazal in the Medrash, Ani Hashem, at the time of the Ur, the Ramban's fires of Kasdan, Ani Hashem, Asher Otzei Sicha. I personally, says God, will save you, will remove you from the fires of that great furnace. And the Medrash goes into beautiful detail about the different malachim who came in front of the Kisei HaKavod, each one vying for the possible task of saving Avram from the Kivshan HaEsh. Gavriel came and Michael came. They all came, lined up, one after the other. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected them all. Even though, as a general rule, God works through the powers of Malachim, in this case, Anochi Hashem, Chazal say, Avram Avinu put his life on the line for my covenant, then I'm going to go down. I'm going to cool off the flames. Ani Hashem. And the language of Chazal is so familiar to us. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Avram Avinu b'chvod uv'at. And of course the question is, by sheer association, why is it Hashem, both in the case of Avram Avinu, the Kivshan HaEsh, and in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim, ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo shliach. It cannot be coincidental. Twice in the history of man, Hashem says, oh no, no malachim are getting involved in. It's my direct action. Mirtz Hashem will come back to this question in just a few minutes. I want to go on to the third attribute of Avram Avinu. And that's clearly the attribute of chesed. Avram Avinu represents, he embodies chesed par excellence. Imagine the chesed of Avram, the achnosis orchem in the beginning of Parshas Vayira. He could have sent Yishmael. He does it himself. And look at his sensitivity towards the potential guests. Yukach no ma'at mayim, say Chazal, he didn't want the guests to feel that they were imposing upon him. It's a simple matter. It's a simple task. Come in, take a little water to drink, and you're on your merry way. How sensitive does the host have to be to the needs of his guest so that the guest doesn't feel embarrassed? I remember many years ago, I taught in a, maybe you've heard of an institution called Michala for women. This is before MMY. And I remember at the end of the year, the girls created a tape. In those days, they had cassette tapes. I mean, you probably never saw one in your life. But anyway, and they created this cassette. It was a shtick, and it opens up. You hear a phone ring, and then you hear a Michala girl get on the phone saying, "Well, I'm your cousin's sister's brother's uncle's. Can I come for Shabbos?" You know, it's embarrassing, you know, to have to get an invite for Shabbos. Now they institutionalized in Eretz Yisrael. What do they call it? Anywhere in Israel, right? Anywhere in Israel. It's great. And Rabbi Machlis, of course. Oh, beautiful. And Einstein. So what's the chesed of Avram Avinu? Look at the parsha and see how many times the words Vayimaher Avram repeat itself. El Abaka Rots Avram. The Midah of Zerizus. Avram Avinu is not just involved in chesed par excellence. He's not just going to place in front of the guests some sort of five-course deluxe meal with bakar and with chema and cholov, and don't ask me about milchiks and fleishiks, Chazal worked this all out. But moreover, Avram Avinu does it bizrizut. And my friends, this is very, very important to me. Because what is rizut, if not a person who puts his whole heart into what he's doing? Heart and soul. Out of a tremendous feeling of identity with someone else. Chazal is so enamored by the chesed of Avram Avinu. And I've said it before, many of you have heard it from me. That according to one day in Chazal, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to receive the Torah, and the Malachi Ashores are attacking him and fighting him and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you give the Holy Torah to physical mortal man who's here today and gone tomorrow? And there are many deists about how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to win this debate on high and receive the Torah. According to one day in Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't succeed against the Malach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu converted, he transferred the facial features of Moshe Rabbeinu, the countenance of Moshe, and made him look like Avram Avinu. And Moshe turns to the Malachim as if he were Avram. Look at me. Don't you remember Malachi Ashores? Klum Eincha Mizbaishim Befonai? Lo Achaltem Misudosam Mishulchano? Now listen, my friends, to say that the Malachim owed a debt of gratitude to Avram Avinu, and therefore they would forfeit the debate for the Torah itself, makes no sense to me. Moreover, I can't even begin to fathom how the Malachim ate at Avram Avinu's table. Malachim don't eat food. What do they? They eat angel food. And the Gemara in Yuma tells us what angel food is. Anybody? Man is lechem shel shamayim. Lechem adbirim, it's the lechem of the Malachi Ashores. The Bali Kabbalah say that every single physical object is given a certain life, a spark of life, a nitzotz Eloki. The Pasuk says, V'ata mechayas kulam. Without that divine life-giving force, every physical object would simply revert back to tova vo, back to ex nihilo. Our job in this world, through Torah and mitzvahs, is to strip the physical, material world of all that's corporeal and expose that nitzotz, that spark of divinity that's inherent in everything. And that's exactly what Avram Avinu was able to do at the time of Achnosis Orchim. He was able to convert lechem and chema and chalav and bakar into man, so the malachi asharis could partake. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to win the debate. If the Torah had remained in Shamayim, in the spiritual realms of disembodied spirits, there would be no possibility of achieving Torah mitzvahs. Because the goal of the Torah is nothing else but to create something spiritual out of that which is physical. And that's what Avraham Avinu demonstrated, together with Sari Menu, Lushi Vasiu Ghost, at the time of that great chesed of Avraham Avinu. And so, my friends, Avraham Avinu's chesed is not just in the realm of Achnosis Orchim. It goes way beyond that, into the pure spiritual realm of teaching Torah. HaNefesh Asher Asu Becharon. My Rebbe used to always say to us, the greatest chesed you could do for a person is teaching him Torah. A Rebbe gets even more coveted yira than a father because the Rebbe brings him to Olam Haba. And here was Avraham Megayeres HaNoshim V'Sarah Megayeres HaNoshim to reach out. You know, I don't know, today I would say let's reach out to Jews. Avraham reached out to the entire universe. Maybe we should take a cue from Avraham Avinu and reach out to Goyim as well. They're chayav in Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. I know the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Hatzal was very makpid about prayer groups and prayer hour in public schools in New York City. He felt that even non-Jews have to pray. And we as Jews have to do everything in our power to guarantee that they're able to do so. Despite freedom of religion and separation of church and state and the whole bit. Avraham Avinu is the paradigm of reaching out. Avraham Avinu is HaNefesh Asher Asu Becharon. And I want to tell you a story. Maybe I told this once before. I don't know. When I was in Shiduchim, this woman calls up my mother, may she rest in peace, and she says, well, what is your son planning to do with his life? So my mother said, quite honestly, he's planning to teach Torah. So my mother hears on the other end, on the other side of the phone, you mean he wants to be a Malamed? That's not for this Shidduch. I said, Mom, you know what? Being a Malamed Torah is not such a bad thing. Every morning we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, HaMalamed Torah Liyamo Yisrael. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Almighty God, is a Malamed and I want to follow in His footsteps, that's not so bad. I didn't get the date. But. So this is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu embodies the midah of Avas Hashem, of love of Hashem. In fact, Chazal say that what's the highest level of Avas Hashem? Shetehe Ava, Mahiva al Abrios. Ava is not just a noun, it's a verb. To get other people to love Hashem. That's the greatness of Avraham because he touches the lives, according to the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Akum, of hundreds of thousands of individuals. And number four, the next important category that we can use to describe Avraham Avinu is the Avi HaUmah. He's the father of our people. He embodies the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael, of Knesset Yisrael. It says in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Basora Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram, what's the next word? Avinu. It says Rabbi Chaim Valojin in the Ruach HaChaim, why did he add the word Avinu? It could have said Basora Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram. But the answer Avinu is that Avram was not being tested as a Yochid, simply in his own individual realm, Bein Olam Bein Atzmo, but he was being tested as the Avi HaUmah. He was literally inculcating into the DNA structure of Knesset Yisrael all the midos that he had achieved in through those Asor and Nisyonos. Avraham Avinu transcends himself and he identifies, he embodies the entire tzibur of Knesset Yisrael. And finally, the fifth, Avraham Avinu, as the Ish HaTfilah, the man of prayer. Avraham Avinu prays for Sodom, for others who are so far, so evil. He prays for himself to find himself. He prays to Hashem to help him through the Akedah experience, to guarantee Zaracha that he'll have children, he'll have descendants. Avraham Avinu is the great father of prayer. He's Mesakein Tefillah Shachris, perhaps the most fundamental tefillah that we have. And so, Rabosai, we're ready, I think, to approach the lessons of Chag HaPesach. Number one, the first lesson of Chag HaPesach is that as the people of Hashem, we must follow Avram's lead, me'ever hanor, and express our own separateness. We are separate, we are distinct from the nations of the world. B'nei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Chazal say, Lo shinu eshmam, lo shinu esmal busham. They may have been on the 49th level of Tumas Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, they saw themselves as a separate entity. We too, in our experience today, are me'ever hanor. We have national aspirations. We have a commitment to a code of morality. And, more important, we have an allegiance to a land, to Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Yisrael. The trouble is, and I'm afraid to say it, we all suffer from this galut mentality. But perhaps we're afraid, we're intimidated. We don't stand up and scream out, this is antithetical to our religion. This is against our moral code. Instead, we tend to blend in with the society around us. And this we must shake off. We must be like Avram Avinu, me'ever hanor, to stand up for what's right. And therefore we begin the Seder with maschil bignus. And we, in a sense, klap al chet, we do vidui, because we realize that mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, that we're subject, as our forefathers were subject to the powerful influences of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, of that powerful civilization of idol worship. We too, in our day, have to claim, we have to admit, that we live in a society, maybe it's not as paganistic as it was then, although there are still pagans on the face of the earth, by the billions. But whatever it is in the society that we live in, we're impacted. Each and every one of you will go into your field of choice, and you'll find that you'll be constantly challenged by moral decisions. You have to be very careful because you get swept away by the studies, by the environment, by the culture that you're in, which has a whole different set of rules and regulations. In psychology, for example, if you study behavioral psychology, it's anathema to a Torah Jew. It undermines the very basic yisod, the philosophy of the Torah of Bechira Chofshit. Be very careful. And it's true for almost every field. In medicine, there'll be a certain cynicism that you'll have to be sensitive to. In law, especially tax law, all these different fields that have moral issues. So we have to be strong. Maschil Bignus, we realize that we fell to the 49th level of Tuma Mitzrayim. And we commit ourselves on Chag HaPesach not to be influenced by the society that's antithetical to our beliefs. The Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram at the time of the Kivshon Eish. Not only was Avram Avinu willing to philosophize and share his belief publicly in one God at a time when society was an idol worship society, he's willing to put his life on the line. That Mesiris Nefesh has to serve as a paradigm for us. Wherever we turn, in every experience that we face, in every confrontation with society. And the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem asher tzisicha mirkaznin sechazal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected the claims of the Malachim to come and save Avram from the Kivshon Ha'ish. Ani velo Malach, ani velo Shliach. What's the connection between Hashem saving Avram from the fires of Kazdin and Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim, the same Lashon and Chazal? An evil of Malach, an evil of Shliach. The answer I found in the Maral Miprag. He claims that there's a concept here in both instances in history of Bechira, of God choosing. Choosing His man, His people. Choosing Avram Avinu as the Avi HaUma because he's willing to give up his life for his beliefs in one God. and choosing Bnei Yisrael at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to become the Mamleches Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh. As you all know, the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, Mitzvah Bo, Yosef Mibishlucho. You want to propose to a girl, don't send a shliach. That's an act of Bechira. That's an act of Ahava. Not to send a shliach. It would be insulting. It would be degrading to the act itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bocher B'Avo Yisrael, it's Anivlo Malach, Anivlo Shliach. Because it's an act of Ahava. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim that connects us to Chag HaPesach is V'diglu Alai Ahava. This night is the night of Ahava, a gilui of revelation of God's love for His people. So powerful is this night. It's a night of elevation. It's a night of Hitkadshut, of sanctification. Sokachava Revi says in the Simonim, we say Kadesh Urchatz. Kadesh is the Baal Avnei Nezer. Kadesh represents Asei Tov. Through Maisim Tovim is Kadshus, to elevate the personality, to elevate the Neshama. Urchatz represents purification. Sur Meira. Says the Revi, on every night of the year, first it's got to be Sur Meira. It's got to be Urchatz. And only then, after you purify yourself, you throw the sheretz away, then it could be his kadshus. It could be Asei Tov. But on this night, the order is reversed. It's a night of Vidiglu, Alai Ava, Diglu, Milosh, and Dilug. We can skip steps. We can jump right in to have a close encounter with Hashem, with the Shechina, because of the Ava of this night. This is B'chipazon, Yatzasa Mitzrayim. Each and every one of us has to take advantage of this night of Ava. Not let it go, Chas V'Sholom, not let it pass through our fingers. It's a tremendous opportunity. First Kachus. After this Kachus, then comes Tetzayin B'Nisan, and we'll have 49 days of Sfira. And on each one of those days, we'll work on another Midah. That's the Tahara process. Slow and painstaking, work on every midah to be koneg, but on this night to set the pace, to project us and propel us forward, it's v'diglu alai av. That's the bechira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo shliach. Number two, vayehi sham legoy gadol melamed shehoyu mitzuyonim sham. Emphasize the word sham. There's an unbelievable paradox. The word mitzuyonim, shorish of tziun or tzion, both the same. Tziun is a marker that's placed near those who are interred, who are buried, so that the kohenim won't go in there. They have to know. Tzion means setting aside something, distinguishing it from something else. And the Jewish people are the people of tzion. The land of Israel, Yerushalayim, is the Tzion, it's distinguished. Where did our people become distinguished? Where did they emerge as a separate, unique people, distinct from other people, Mitzuyonim? Shaman Mitzrayim. When Yaakov Avinu realizes he's going down to Mitzrayim, when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Al Tira, Merda Mitzrayim. Kila Goy Godal Asimcha Sham. Again, the word Sham. There in Mitzrayim, paradoxically, we became a great nation. Rashi says that Mitzrayim is the Kur HaBarzel, the Klish of Mezakikim Boaz HaZov. You take a metal, a precious metal like gold, and you burn it, and all those psoles, those impurities, come out. That's the Kur HaBarzel. Somehow in Mitzrayim, we were purified. We were elevated. We became Mitzuyonim. This is the second aspect, the attribute that we spoke about of Avram Avinu. Lech lecha mi'artzach. Avram Avinu is the first Jew, and he's the first Jew to go into Golus. And somehow, paradoxically, from that lonely experience of Golus, an individual grows. And a nation emerges, dafka from the adversity of the experience of galut, of being away, far away from our familiar surroundings. How could it be so? But somehow a person, as we said before, has to undergo this metamorphosis, this change, this process of maturation, of looking for one's identity. And sometimes it's got to be sham, in a kind of ghost experience. That's what Avram Avinu teaches us. The Pasuk says in Shir Ashirim, Kishoshana bein achochim, kein rayati bein abanot. We know that Shir Ashirim, according to Chazal, is a metaphor for the Ava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. And we know that the most beautiful of all flowers is the Shoshana, the rose. But my friends, be very careful if you pluck a rose, because the rose is full of thorns. Kishoshana bein achochim. Where does the rose bush grow? Amongst the thorns. And where does Klal Yisrael, the Shoshana on high, the ideal Shoshana, where does it grow? Where does it mature? Dafka bein achochim. Amongst those oppressors, those idol worshippers in Mitzrayim. Avram Avinu is searching for her Makom Asher Areka, some undefined geographic location. We too are searching for our Makom. But we know where our Makom is. Clearly, it's in Eretz Yisrael. And all of us, no matter what station of life we're at, have to be connected. Have to realize that whatever goalless experience we have to undergo, whatever adversity, life is full of ups and downs. But our commitment must always be to that makom, the place where the Shekhinah waits for us. And the third midah of Avram Avinu is the midah of Zrizut. Running around. You can just see Avram Avinu running around. You know, Labakarats Avram. Rushi Vasiyug. My friends, where does Rizus originate from? Of course, we need our intellect, we need our mind, but more importantly, we need our emotions. On this night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we study the Midrashim, the relevant halachot. We're involved in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, but ultimately, what's most important is the goal of being emotionally connected to the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mind has to have an impact on the heart. It's moach and lev. Chayav Adam liros es atzmo, or the Rambam's Gir Slaharos es atzmo, kilu hu yotza atom mishivud Mitzrayim, says the Rambam. We've got to learn, we've got to study, we've got to think, we've got to contemplate and analyze and dissect everything. But ultimately, my friends, it's in the lave, it's in the heart. As you know, a couple of centuries ago, there was a tremendous machlokas in Klal Yisrael between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. The Hasidim put the emphasis on the singing and the dancing and the heart and the emotions. And the Litvaks came along and said, no, it's the intellect. But I'll tell you, my Rebbe Zichron Levrach, who came from a skyin of Misnagdim, one after the other, I don't know how many generations, in Brisk, and yet, constantly spoke about the Kiyum Shebelev, about the inner emotional moment that forms the essence of a mitzvah. And he said it here, and he said it there. I don't know if he ever said it about this mitzvah, but it fits like a glove. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is an interesting Maisa mitzvah, the Kriyas HaGadah, but the Kiyum HaMitzvah is belave. It's an emotional high. Work up to a frenzy. I don't know if anyone here is from Iraqi background. Maybe you heard about the minhag of the Iraqi Jews, you know, to put out a basin of water in the middle of the living room, and everybody in the household gets online and puts a matzah on their shoulder and jumps over the basin of water. Whatever does it for you, whatever your minig is. But ultimately your goal has got to be that inner experience. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Rachmana liba bai. HaKadosh Baruch wants the lev. He wants that kiyum shebelev. The wine, the achilas matzah, the reclining, the sipur. They're all designed to bring us up to that passionate state of being, to transport us to another world. Leil HaSeder is meant and must become a powerful emotional experience. And Rabbosai, this is a Musa Shmuz because min ha-prat el ha-klal, this is true for all mitzvahs. And each and every one of us sitting in this room has to ask himself, do I feel for the mitzvahs? Are the mitzvahs an essential part of my life, of my reality, of my being? Do I identify with the mitzvahs? Do I appreciate the opportunity to get close to Shechina, to imitate God, to fulfill His Torah, and ultimately His great will? Or do I take it in a sort of laid-back sort of a way? They say about the Vilna Gaon that in the last moments of his life, he was clutching his tzitzis and declaring and exclaiming, oh, for a few kopekus, look what I could have, what a mitzvah, in a few moments I won't have it. They say about Rabbi Yisrael Salant, the father of the Musar movement, that on the night of Sukkot, he stayed up the entire night just looking at his esrog, waiting for the first rays of daybreak to take his esrog and his dalad minim and fulfill the mitzvah. Oh yes, we had gedolim for whom the mitzvahs were real. The Netziv Mivalozh in the Rashiva, the greatest yeshiva of his time, used to kiss the matzah before he ate it. To feel for a mitzvah, it's part of me. It's an opportunity. It's rizut. It's ava. It's a kiyum shebelev. And the chesed of Avraham Avinu is reflected in a very interesting chazal about Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And you and I know that they went through the Memtesh Shari Tuma, but chazal make a comment, Shelo Dibru Lashon Hara Zelze. Imagine, Rabbosai, we live in a luxurious free society and it's so challenging for us not to fall prey to the temptation of speaking chas v'shalom disparagingly about another Jew. And Klal Yisrael, the most difficult situations of oppression and shibud, lo dibru lashon hara zel zeh, according to one day in Chazal, that's why we were zocha to the geula, to the redemption. And Chazal tell us that no less than 36 times in 36 different mitzvos in the chamisha chumshei Torah, like a refrain, V'zachartem ki eved ha'yisem b'eretz Mitzrayim v'yahavtem es hager ki eved lo tikhu neshach v'tarviz ki geirim ha'yisem b'eretz Mitzrayim. This is the Kura Barzal that made us into an Am of Chesed. As David HaMelech says it in Tehillim, Ashrei maskil el dol, how fortunate is a person who has the masculine relationship with a dal. Dal is a very destitute individual. It's even more than an ani. And what's masculine? Masculine means he identifies. He empathizes with the plight of the needy. This is what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. You all know the famous story about the Rav, who was collecting in Europe over 100 years ago. There was such a blizzard in Europe that winter, the poor people didn't have logs to put in their fireplaces. And the Rav, with trepidation, knocked on the door of the gvir of the town, who wasn't known as a great Baal Tzedakah. The Balabais opens up the door, he sees the Rav of the town, he says, Rebbe, to what do I owe this great cover that you came personally to see me? Please come in, sit down. We'll warm up by the campfire, by the fireplace. I'll prepare you a cup of tea. And before the Balabas could get his response, the Rav starts describing the terrible situations, the plight of the poor people. And he continues to describe it in great detail and how much they need the logs and the wood to keep their fireplaces going so they don't freeze in the winter. And the Balabais is getting cold out there. They're standing at the threshold of his door. And he says, Rebbe, please come in. And the Rebbe doesn't even pay attention to him. He just continues talking and talking. Until after 20 minutes, the Balabas is literally freezing from cold. Runs into his living room and brings out a very generous donation for the poor people. But Rebbe, tell me, couldn't we have had the same discussion in our living room? Oh no, you don't understand. I needed you to feel feel the cold in your bones. And that's why you responded so generously. Ashrei maskil el dol. My friends, the Beis HaLevi, asks the Kasha, why do we open up the Seder night called Dichvin Yesev V'Yechol? I mentioned it in Rabbi Sabalovsky's class. Why? On Sukkot night, to invite the poor people to join us at the meal. On Shavuos night, why Dafka Pesach? Says the Beis HaLevi on a pasuk in Yeshayo, Shimru Mishpat Vasut Stakaki Krova Yeshuasi Lovo. Tzedakah is going to bring about the Yeshua. The ultimate Geula will come about through the mitzvah of Tzedakah. If only we'll feel for the plight of those who are unfortunate. A pasuk in Sefer Dvarim of Aschanan says, Ki mi gai gadol asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. What is a gai gadol? Yaakov Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al tira merda because le gai gadol asim chasham. The pasuk in and the bikurim, the mevi bikurim say, Vayihi sham le gai gadol. Avraham Avinu was told at the beginning of Parshas V'lech Lecha, V'eschol a goy gadol, over and over like a refrain, goy gadol. What is a goy gadol? What defines us as a goy gadol? And the answer is the pasuk of Aschanan, Asher lo chukim, u'mishpatim tzadikim. It's the tzedek, it's the justice, it's the righteousness, the tzedakah. That's what defines us as Jewish people, as a goy gadol. I'm sure you all heard the various hespedim, or maybe you read them for Rav Noach Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And Rav Noach used to say the following, you, he would point, you have to go out and reach out to Jews. And he used to always add that if every Orthodox Jew would reach out to eight Jews, I mean, halavai, halapai, I don't know, I wasn't so good to reach out to one single Jew, but you guys will do it. Then we can possibly stem the tide of assimilation, of intermarriage. What we see today, said Rav Noach, is a daily spiritual holocaust. Chazal tell us that when Bnei Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, they got to Yam Suf, and the waters split into 12 different sections for each one of the Shvatim, and the waters formed a wall that was transparent. And Chazal say, why is it so important that the walls separating the Shvatim were transparent, they were see-through? Say Chazal, because each Jew was looking through the walls to see how his other fellow Jews, how his brethren were faring in this difficult moment of trudging through the waters. In Sfirat HaOmer, if you've ever said the paragraph after the Sfira, which is all based on Kabbalah, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'taharenu mitumosenu u'miklipposenu. So I understand what it means, L'taharenu mitumosenu. If we're contaminated by and polluted by sin, we have to undergo a process of purification 49 days, day after day. But what's miklipposenu? Of course, if you know Kabbalah, the Arizal, you know, the Shvir Sakelim and the klipos here, there, and elsewhere, but al-piderech ha-pshat, klipa is a peel. Klipa is something that separates. Klipa represents symbolically those mechitzos, those artificial barriers that we erect, separating one from the other. But we have to be like our ancestors in Mitzrayim, Shelo Dibru Lashon Hara Zel Zeh, but rather look through the transparent walls of the chomos of the water to see how their fellow Jews were doing. This is the mida that we derive from Avram Avinu, the caring for everyone, even non-Jews, and kol shkein for the Jewish people. And number four, Avram Avinu is the Avi HaUma. He's dedicated to the Tzibur. He's an integral part of the community of Israel. Not an individual, but he embodies the entire Tzibur. Pesach is a holiday of a national experience. Yom Kippur, much more of a personal kind of holiday. Every individual goes through his own tahara. There is a kabbaras hatzibur, but it's secondary. Primarily is the yachid. Pesach, on the other hand, is a communal experience. The Karban Pesach represents v'shachtu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, the entire Eidah of Klal Yisrael. We exit from Egypt. The exodus is not as individuals, but as a tzibur. Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk, in his writings, especially in his Meshech Chochma LaTorah, emphasizes the importance of the tzibur. If you look in Tanakh, there were many situations, many doros, generations, which were not so high on religion. They were not so observant. But they were zocha, they experienced geula v'yeshua, great miracles, because of their achdus, because they formed the tzibur. The power of the tzibur is way beyond our comprehension. My Rebbe used to say, if only he could add a 14th animamin, it would be animamin be'emuna shlema, be'klal Yisrael, be'knesses Yisrael. Sometimes we're cynical. Sometimes we feel, Ribbono Shalom, look at the matzav of our people. We're so dispersed. Today it's a fear to go to Europe because of anti-Semitism. You look at assimilation in America, intermarriage in Europe, in France it's up to 90%. In places down in South America, it's even higher. You look at the state of Israel today, surrounded by 80 million Arabs, Iran with possibly nuclear weapons. You look at the situation of the Welt, what they think of us, and how they challenge us and undermine us. And you could, chas v'sholem, come to Yeush to despair. So the Rav says, add another animam. Sof Yisrael, lachzor b'tshuva. The Rambam says in the seventh parak of Hilchas Tshuva that at the end of days, Klal Yisrael will come back. There will be a geula. It's one of the fundamentals of our faith. This is our connection to the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. We have to feel it. Rabbosai, feel it. It's not enough to think it. It's not enough to study it. It's not enough to hear it. As we said before, laharos es atzmo, we've got to re-experience it, reconnect. And finally, the fifth attribute of Avraham Avinu, the man of prayer. And if we go back to the pasuk in Dvarim that we mentioned before, Umi goy gadol asher lo Elokim krovim elav, kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. What makes us a unique people, a nation that's called, described as a goy gadol, is our power of prayer b'chol kareinu elav. Prayer represents faith. It means that no matter what we undergo as individuals, there are ups and there are downs, but we have to have bitachon, we have to have faith. The power of prayer should be taken seriously. And tonight, on the night of Pesach, we recite a kapitel Tehillim in the second half of Hallel. It starts with Lolonu, but it ends with Ana Hashem Oshion. The people don't realize that the second half of Hallel is not pure praise. It's praise integrated with prayer and petition. Because as Chazal tell us, when you experience a salvation, you realize that life is insecure, that man is vulnerable. The one most wonderful, poignant expression of this dramatically is the Jews in Persia at the time of Purim. Shtia kedase no nes. The Jews are there at the party. It's a pluralistic society, free for all nations, the Jews as well, experiencing freedom. And yet, overnight, Achashverosh signs the decree, Larog Lahashmin Eliyabit. Man is vulnerable, and especially the Jew. One day we're in tranquility, but the next day, who knows? One day America is on the top of the world financially, and the next day, I don't know. They call it the economic meltdown. It's really melting. And so, when a person experiences Yeshua, when he's on high, he's got to still turn to Hashem in prayer, Ana Hashem Hoshion. Both on a personal level, as Yechidim, on a collective level, as a Tzibur, it's got to be Hashem Elokeinu Bechol Koreinu Elav. When we look at the situation of Jewish people today, when we approach the Chag HaGeulah, the holiday of redemption, our hearts are full with both praise and petition, with thanks and with prayer. And we ask Hashem to connect the past, present, with the future, with the ultimate redemption. If we all jump in, if each and every one of us does our part to follow in the five attributes of Avraham, culminating with tefillah, Hashem will hear our prayers. Yemirtz Hashem will be able to identify in our own lives our direction, the direction of Ha'aretz Asher Ar'eka, the Makom of Ashras Hashchina. Yehi Ratzon Mifnei Avinu Shel Shemayim, we should be zochet to see the fulfillment of that promise that we incorporate in the brach of Gol Yisrael at the end of Magid. V'nochal sham min hazvachim min hapsachim. At the time of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Harabayis, v'mehir of Yomenu, Amen. I want to thank everyone for coming and wish everyone a Chag Kosher Sameach, a Freilichin Kosher and Pesach.